This is Faith Radio Mornings, and we're going to talk about now, how do we communicate with people who really don't agree with us? And how do we do this in what we have called so often civil discourse?
It's easy to just have a microphone and say what we think here without any pushback, PK, but it's that face-to-face that can be pretty difficult sometimes, right?
It is. We want to welcome into the conversation this morning Tim Muehlhoff. His book is called I Beg to Differ. It's Navigating Difficult Conversations with Truth and Love, and he's professor of communication at Biola University in La Mirada, California. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Now, this is something that we are hearing, I think, ramped up even so much more now, over and over and over again. It just seems to be escalating. Do you listen to news stories and different things that are happening and blogs? And boy, is this maybe a catalyst for writing your book even?
Well, it really was a catalyst. How discouraging it is to listen to Americans try to talk about some of the most important topics you can imagine. You know, everything from how do you define marriage to immigration law to balancing the budget and We're losing the ability to talk with each other at the precise moment when we need to talk about some of the most important things you can imagine.
Well, I think people tend to dig their heels in, don't they? And they want to make sure that their point of view is heard. I even, sadly, have heard of this or seen this in like the fellowship hall at church. I mean, Christians aren't immune to this, are they?
No, not at all. And if anything, we add to the conflict, you know, this is what I think God is telling me to say, you know, based on the scriptures or based on my personal convictions. So then there's no room for common ground or compromise on these kind of issues. I think it's ironic that at a time we're communicating more than ever before, you know, via social media.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, I mentioned an interesting statistic that says if Facebook were its own country, it would be the third largest country in the world, only behind China and India. So we are talking more than ever before, getting words out there, but we're losing the ability to navigate what I call difficult conversations. And a difficult conversation is, you know, that conversation you tried to have with a coworker, or you tried to have it with your spouse or, you know, your teenage daughter or son, and it went so badly, you know, voices were raised, tempers kind of flared, that you now say, oh, okay, I'm not going to talk about that issue again. We'll just kind of keep that under the surface. We call that latent conflict. And those powerful emotions you have don't go away just because you're not addressing the issue. And those powerful emotions actually bleed out into the family or the church or the corporation. And it really does cause what we call a negative communication spiral to happen.
And I think a lot of that, too, could be even how we were raised. If you were raised in a home that maybe there was a lot of arguing or fighting or that sort of thing, it may just even do something visceral to you where it raises your blood pressure. And so the whole thought of confrontation just can almost be a physical pain to people.
Boy, I really would agree with that. And I would put myself in that category. You know, my parents would argue and you know, nothing ever got resolved and issues just stayed right there in front of the family. So when I got married, my response was, okay, when we have conflict, I'm going to do what my parents did, which was literally walk out of the room, pretend like nothing happened, and then walk back into the room. And it was my wife who said, hey, whoa, we can't do this. We've got to address these issues. But we didn't have a plan of doing it. And I think many of your listeners might agree that when it comes to really hard conflict or issues, I don't really have a plan of how to have a productive conversation. We more take the attitude, hey, we just need to take a deep breath and talk about this issue. And the book of Proverbs says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So that conversation might do more harm than good if you don't have a strategy for producing a good, healthy conversation.
And I think, too, it's difficult because there are other proverbs that talk about, okay, just drop everything before the argument starts. So when we come back in a moment, Tim, let's talk a little bit more about that, too, because the Bible has instructions on how to do this, but we just need to kind of comb through a little bit more. We're talking with Tim Muehlhoff. His book is called I Beg to Differ, and it's how to navigate those difficult conversations. And we'll be back in just a moment with more.
Back here at Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, we're talking this morning with Dr. Tim Muehlhoff. He's author of several books, but we're talking about I Beg to Differ. It's navigating difficult conversations with truth and love.
So, Tim, talk about the difference between the scriptures that right before the break, I was talking about one that you mentioned in the book about starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Talk about that verse, but then we need to get into the practical about how can we have these conversations?
Yeah, that it is interesting that you mentioned those proverbs. And it is true. The book of Proverbs is saying, I do not want a dispute to break out. We could translate that an argument.
Mm-hmm.
And I would totally agree with that. Arguments are not going to be productive and actually are going to hurt you in the long run because they create what we could call a negative communication climate that makes it very difficult to talk in a way that actually will resolve conflict. The book of Proverbs says that a word spoken in the right way is compared to fine jewelry in the Old Testament. So we need to have some kind of a strategy heading in, and that's what the book is about. As I looked at the book of Proverbs, I saw that these proverbs could be categorized into four different questions that I think we need to ask as we're having this conversation. And the first question is, what does this person believe about this issue? The book of Proverbs says that it is folly and shame to speak before listening.
Mm.
I think that's so interesting. And I think we get the folly part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my wife will be saying something, and I'll just jump in and start to disagree with her. And she'll say, hey, that's not even what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, well, but if it was, this is what I would have said to that.
I was ready.
Yeah. And you know, I think the shame part is really interesting that the ancient writer would say, it's actually shameful for you to speak before listening because we're not respecting the person. So the very first thing, the very first question is, what do you believe about this issue? And I list a bunch of different questions that we can ask our spouse, teenager, or coworker to kind of surface that. And then the second question seems like the first, but it's really different. And that is, why do you believe this? The Harvard Negotiation Project says the biggest mistake we make is that we only trade conclusions, not how we arrived at the conclusion. So I use this illustration about Steve Jobs. You know, the last year of his life, Jeff Goodall was given unhindered access to Steve Jobs. And if you know anything about Steve Jobs, you know he was a narcissist in some ways,
mm-hmm.
impossible to work with. Well, he mentions in his autobiography of Steve Jobs, he says, you could boil all of Steve Jobs down into his attempt to prove to his birth parents who gave him up for adoption that they were wrong to give up on him. Now, I think that's fascinating. It doesn't make Steve Jobs any easier to work with, but getting that background information makes you realize maybe this is not about perfectionism. Maybe Steve Jobs is really about proving that he's worthy of being loved. And everybody has background stories about why we believe certain things. So the second question is, hey, why is this so important to you? You mentioned family of origin.
Mm-hmm.
I would add to that powerful experiences, powerful individuals that have really shaped your thinking.
Tim Uhlhoff again is our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings, and we're discussing his book, I Beg to Differ. You'll find links for that at myfaithradio.com. So it starts again with asking the question, why? And then secondly, asking the question, why? What's the third one?
Well, the third one I think is the most neglected, and that is, where is there common ground? You see, I would agree that watching television, you know, watching shows where they take the most polarizing perspectives and stick them on, you know, a 10-minute segment to talk about issues, you never see any common ground.
Mm-hmm.
So the third question is, hey, where do we agree with each other? Because I think your listeners would agree that often when we're talking about important topics, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, oh, I disagree with that. Oh, no, that's not true. That person has it wrong about that. And so when we start by disagreeing with a person, saying, hey, let me tell you, I don't buy that when you said this. And it's just too early in the conversation to do that. What we want to do is to say to a person, hey, listen, that was interesting when you said that. And I think you're right on that. Or I would agree with this. And it's incredibly important to do that, to say to a person, all right, I'm listening. And I think we can say, do we have common values? Do we have common goals? Like the goal may be the budget in the marriage, And we can agree on the goal is to balance the budget, but we might just disagree on how to do that. Well, start with the fact that you both have the same goal, and that is you care about finances within the marriage.
And that's one of the toughest areas between raising kids and finances. That you talk about a common area right there in marriages. That's one of the big stressors. Tim, what's the fourth question that we should ask?
Well, the fourth question is based on everything that I just learned, right, from the first three questions. What is the one thing I should say? And I like to break it down that way because often I'll be thinking of, oh, I've got 10 things I want to say. Especially if this is a conversation I want to have with my spouse, but we just haven't had it. So over months and maybe even years, I've imagined this conversation in my mind, like, okay, when we finally get to talk about the kids' schedules or our spirituality of the marriage, here are 6, 7, 8 things I want to desperately say to this person. We call that agenda anxiety. But I would force myself to say, but what is one thing I should say with this particular person? And by that, I mean, what history do you have with this person? Is it like every time you talk with your boss, you seem to butt heads? Well, if you're then talking about this key project within the company and you have that history with your boss that you just seem to disagree with everything he or she says, then I might say, hey, stick with more common ground with that person. And sometimes we just get prideful and we say, no, I'm going to voice my opinion and I'm not going to lose this disagreement that we're having.
Some good advice there. Again, we'll post the interview up at myfaithradio.com if anybody missed any of the four steps we just went through with our guest, Tim Muehlhoff. The book, again, is called I Beg to Differ, and there's links also at myfaithradio.com. Tim, in this day and age where we read an article maybe on a news website and then we look at the comments section below it, it's just people can just react and put it out there for the world to see literally on the internet without going through this process. It's pretty evident. What's your encouragement for people? Should we just stay away from that altogether, not even comment? What do you think?
Well, I think we should stay away from instant replies. Seneca said the best remedy for anger is delay. And I really think there's wisdom in that. You know, we all have written emails and then we hit the send button and we immediately regret it.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, man. Or you write that email, you're about to send it, and you think, hey, you know what? I'm going to have my spouse read this email first. And your spouse looks at you like, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? That's nuts. And then you look at it through fresh eyes and you're like, oh, okay. So that's the biggest problem I have with Twitter. I think Twitter in some ways is awesome because it gives us that everyday communication of staying connected with people. But Twitter, athletes are getting in trouble, politicians are getting in trouble, news media people, because we just send out a tweet and don't really think about it because it's happening in real time. And I just think we need to step back and even ask the Lord as Christians, you know, give me discernment on what I'm about to do. Because the book of Proverbs says that a word spoken in the wrong way can break a bone. And I think we need to be very careful that our mouths are like loaded weapons. And we better be very careful what we're shooting at.
And I think that's a great aspect, too, a great point to make about prayer. Because sometimes when you're in a situation where you know the other person perhaps is more volatile than you are, that, you know, just taking that time to bring it before the Lord is a huge factor, too. Tim, I wish we had more time because we really could dig into this. This is something I think that our whole culture could benefit to learn a little bit more about. But thank you for your time today. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
We've been talking with Tim Muehlhoff. His book is called I Beg to Differ, and we will link up the book as well on our website at myfaithradio.com.